Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Karen, good morning. Let's talk first about a story that received national attention. The law firm of Winston and Strawn rescinded a job offer to a New York University law student who wrote in an online publication that Israel bears full responsibility for Hamas' deadly attack in Israel. This brings up an interesting legal question. Can somebody's social media comments be a basis for termination or discipline?
Yes, it sure can. And remember, the First Amendment applies only to government action. So the government, a public school, the legislature cannot make rules based upon regulating comment and the content of what you say. But private employers, private schools can certainly do that. Why? You're an employee at will when you work for a private company, and that private company has a vested interest in making sure its employees are sending the message out that the employer wants. And certainly with very limited exceptions, so for instance, like whistleblower comments or union organization comments, those are an exception. But anything else that is said, or any racy pictures or anything that puts that employer, the employer feels that it's something that is they don't want to be associated with, they are absolutely entitled to take action, to discipline, and to terminate. And in this case, this was a great job, $215,000 starting salary for Winston & Strawn Associates. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I'll say, yeah, something for everybody to remember, and those social media posts live forever, don't they?
They do, and think about this person is going to be blackballed, you know, throughout the country, and you know, with a great education that this person has, you know, that's not a good way to start your career.
Be careful out there. The Trump civil fraud trial continued yesterday. We didn't hear much about it because of all the news from Israel, but the former finance chief for the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg, was on the stand testifying for the government. And this is interesting because you wonder who is responsible, who is legally responsible ultimately for the numbers that you put forth, for example, on a bank loan application or on a tax return. When your accountant does it, is he or she in charge or responsible, or is it you?
Yeah, it's always going to be you, because if you're signing it, you're the one signing it, and you meaning the owner of the company or the company president. There are things that are said in these loan applications that say, you know, and anything I say that's false could be a felony. And when you sign those things, you have to take that really seriously, because the bank can't check every single person's list of assets. So they rely heavily upon your attestation that it's correct. And if you're the CFO or the CEO, you have an obligation to actually do some due diligence to make sure that it is truthful. Outside accountants, maybe not. So when you go and you do your taxes and you give your CPA all of your information about your income and expenses, your CPA really doesn't have a duty to like do due diligence and say, did you really spend that money, you know, on a business dinner? No, that accountant doesn't have that duty. But inside the corporation, all of those people have a duty to make sure that the statements are correct.
So if you give your CPA false information and the accountant cannot verify one way or the other, ultimately, who's responsible legally?
The taxpayer is definitely going to be responsible. And the accountant and the person can't say, hey, well, my CPA signed off on it. Because the CPA, again, you know, how many tax returns does the average CPA do every April? You know, this is something that they can't check every business expense. They can't verify. Now, if the accountant looks at it and says, you know, here's this guy living in a $5 million home in, Lake Forest, and he shows income of $3, maybe there is some due diligence there to check all the information. But short of that, the CPA is really just a person who's reporting what information is given to him.
Here in Chicago, over the weekend at a River North nightclub, 8 people were shot. The city has closed the club. Karen, does the club owner have any legal recourse here?
It's interesting. interesting. I checked the law, and I did not know this, but the police can determine that an establishment presents a safety threat if there's violent offenses in or around the business. And there can be what we call a summary closure. And this is what they did. They said that 8 people were shot, that they must have assumed that there was no security there or presented a serious risk to the safety of people around it and in it. So now it's closed, and now the business has a right to go in within 3 business days to get a hearing to determine whether it is in fact a public safety risk. But it's a summary proceeding, and the city does it on a regular basis.
There's a history of trouble at that nightclub, and that's going to play a big part in all this, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In California, to stop the big problem they have out there of homelessness, they passed a law requiring people with addiction or mental problems to get help. Can that be criminalized? And is this constitutional, what the state did there?
You know, I understand why California did it. They have a third of all of the nation's homeless people in California. So that problem there is just a real serious concern. And it is a concern when people who have mental health issues and addiction won't get the help they need. But to force people to do it, making decisions from a legal standpoint that, yes, you are an addict and you need certain treatment, this is going to be very difficult, and there have already been lawsuits filed saying this is against due process, equal protection, and even the right to privacy. But I think they can criminalize it. I think the idea is if the person doesn't go through with the recommended mental health treatment, that could be a crime. Again, when you're criminalizing someone who's already in a compromised position, that's another problem. I mean, it's a good act as far as the motive, but mm-hmm. I think in enforcement, it's going to be a serious legal problem.
And I guess other states will wait to see what happens legally before they consider adopting this, won't they?
Probably.
Karen Cotty, attorney at law on the radio. Thanks, Karen. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Have a good one, Bob.
You too.